Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
What's going on? It's your dear pal, Karina Reichman, and we're here. It's Tuesday where we are. It's probably Thursday now when you're listening to this podcast. And it's just delightful. And you know what? It's all a construct anyway. I'm here with my guy, Isaac Sloan. I Boogs. What's going on, my dude?
I was just subjecting Karina to listening to Jesus Christ Superstar, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, which she had never heard. And I was actually in. I played Pontius Pilate in Jesus Christ Superstar. Did you know that?
I had not a clue.
Pontius Pilate is like the villain.
In high school?
At School of Rock, pre-high school.
Did you guys do that in School of Rock?
Yes.
No
Paul
shit.
Green's School of Rock did Jesus Christ Superstar, directed by Paul Green himself.
Get out of here.
Yes.
And but you guys also did Rocky Horror with you playing my guy, right?
Yep, definitely that.
Whoa.
This was the next year, so I guess I was in eighth grade about to go into high school. Really around the time we started hanging out.
Yeah.
Although maybe it was earlier, I don't know, because
I feel
like you would be privy to that if I were was doing it at that time.
Yeah, that must have been earlier. When we were first hanging out, you were singing a lot of Prince. You did the Prince show.
Okay.
Is right when we were just starting to hang out.
So this was earlier. This was pre-Rocky
Earlier
Horror.
Than that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Predates. It's insane. Yeah, I'd never heard a note of Jesus Christ Superstar. Never.
I go through phases with it.
Yeah.
Maybe, every 18 months, I'll listen to the soundtrack for like 5 days.
Damn.
A lot, and then I'll forget all about it, and then 18 months go by and I'm like, you know what, Jesus Christ Superstar.
What was the name of the song we just heard?
Heaven on Their Minds.
So that the riff is hot
completely,
but then it becomes like way too saccharine for your girl.
Well, you know, that was the kind of blending of musical theater and rock music that was trying to be sort of produced at the time.
Sure.
And obviously they had a hit with it.
Without a hey, listen, people love things like that. They love it, you know. It's a beautiful thing. I'm glad that people like it, you know.
It's interesting because I've performed in it, but I've never seen it performed.
Sure. Well, were your cast, like your fellow cast members?
Yes.
Were they up to snuff?
Paco Cathcart played Jesus.
Yeah.
And a guy named Zach Page played Judas, and he had a very good voice. I think his name was Zach Page.
Zach Page. Good name. Kind of like Jimmy.
He really was trained, like, operatically. So
wow.
He sang Heaven on Their Minds, the song I just played you, and he did a fantastic job.
Where was it, like, by the way, where was the performance of this?
That's a fantastic question. It was at the Knitting Factory in downtown Tribeca.
Leonard Street.
Leonard Street
Knitting Factory. I'm sure plenty of our listeners have spent a week there one night, you know what I'm saying?
But enough about me and Jesus Christ Superstar. This week, I just feel like it's been a heady riches plethora. Plethora of heady riches.
A plethora of heady riches. Things are dropping. Things are happening. People are, kind of, I feel like everybody's conspiring and wondering when Fish is going to announce their dates, and knowing us, maybe once this podcast comes out, the dates will have been released.
We can only hope.
Yeah, big time. We really can only hope. But other things have really dropped. Things have been fascinating.
Yes. You know, I just think we should get right into it with Les Claypool's Fearless Flying Frog Brigade.
Dude.
Announcing their return with 41 dates. It's their first shows since 2003. They announced Peach Fest. I think they may have announced one or two other festivals. And today, the news dropped of the Summer of Green Tour that starts in Nevada on May 17th and takes them all the way through July 15th, where they'll close out the tour in Phoenix, Arizona. And Karina, this is just wildly exciting. They're playing a Pink Floyd album, Animals, the Pink Floyd album, yeah, in its entirety.
That's pretty sick. And, you know, it comes equipped with really strong support all around, you know, different bands for different dates, including Fishbone and Neil Francis and who else?
Witches, or Witch, We Intend to Cause Havoc.
Yep. Yeah.
Budo's Band.
Very sick.
Cool, Cool, Cool with Jerry Harrison and Adrian Belew doing Remain in Light.
Very, very cool.
Did we say Fishbone already?
We did. But
Fishbone,
yeah.
Red Hot.
We are Red Hot. I mean, that is, it's just great. You know, obviously, as I stand before you as a bass player who, you know, worships the ground Les Claypool walks on. Though that sounds a little too emphatic, because that's like a little out of control. You know what I mean? I fucking love Les Claypool. That's what I'm trying to say. I love that guy. I can't even believe the things that he has made come out of the instrument. But beyond that, he's, to me, Les is just like the one of the glimmering examples of just doing you. And it's like, it's so strange. It's so weird, right? Like, what the ever-loving fuck is that guy doing, like, ever, you know? And yet he's just done himself for so long, and people caught on, and it's the fucking best. And it's just, I don't know, he's an emblematic figure to me, not just because of bass guitar prowess, of course, you know, quite a bit for bass guitar prowess, but really just, I don't know, I think Les is one of those musicians that is so original in every way.
I couldn't agree more.
You know?
It's crazy. Mike Dillon's in his band.
Whew.
Sean Lennon's in his band. It's going to be really, this is going to be very cool.
Sick tour.
And just a shout out to Witch.
Shout out
we
to Witch.
We Intend to Cause Havoc. They are from Zambia. They
yep.
are from the 70s. And there is a documentary about them. I don't really know that much about them, but I think their music is very, very cool.
I agree.
They're only opening the Baltimore date, which is a little bit strange. But check them out.
Yo, Baltimore, get in there. That's what we're trying to say. That's so epic.
So epic. I'm looking forward to the Peach Fest set. I may catch this at the Capitol Theater or the Westbury Theater, which is a place you and I saw Humphreys McGee in the year 2010.
Correct. With Revolution opening.
We were really chasing something at that point.
We were very young and I had never heard of the band. You had very much heard of the band. You took me and our friend Josh, and we went. He's nodding. He's like, "Yeah, yeah, it was Josh." and we went, and it was, you know, the Westbury Theater is in the round, and the stage rotates, and I was not prepared for that.
You know, our friend Steve Bender saw Jimi Hendrix open for the Monkees there.
Really, that is a really deep cut and a great stat.
But that's a legendary place, and I have actually only been back once to see Bob Weir solo acoustic there.
Oh, yeah.
And I would really like to make my return. I really love going to see shows at a random place in Long Island. And by random, I mean this is really a storied venue.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I saw Cheap Trick there. It was epic. Really sick.
That's a cool place.
Yeah, I like that place a lot. Actually, I mean, honestly, to see Les Claypool play a note of music in there, it's just all like actually like the like my brain is congealing, and like that's fucked up.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
I mean, and we obviously love venues like the Capitol Theater that get a lot of respect, a lot of recognition.
Yes,
but this place is really home to a lot of brilliance.
I mean, I'll never forget being in 10th grade and having the stage rotate around and seeing the craziest music ever. Like, that's, I don't know, that was really intense.
What other shows have you seen in the round?
Like, you know, Metallica, right? Yeah,
Metallica,
like,
comes to mind for me too.
Prince.
Yep.
That's a good one.
I saw Bjork in the round.
That's pretty sick. Let me think. Like, not a ton.
Not a ton, right?
Mm.
It's kind of a cool it's kind of a cool thing.
It's kind of awesome. You know, it's good. You know what's good about it is that, like, in an arena, right? A show in the round, it opens up more people to have a better view.
You just reminded me that I saw you two in the round.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And I saw that twice.
And I saw Roger Waters in the round.
Right. Boom. I was there too.
Mm-hmm.
For one of them.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. But it makes it, I think it, you know, because now, of course, you know, concert tickets are so expensive. Being up front, you know, and if you have a stage that's on one side of the floor, right, that just makes that those surrounding areas of, you know, seats and the floor that much more sought after, right? But if it's in the round, you know, if you're rather close at any place around the lower bowl, that's already a great seat, because theoretically the show moves around. You get Kirk Hammett over here, you get Kirk Hammett over there, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's an interesting element of it. I'm a fan too.
Speaking of bands where people are clamoring to get a good spot,
tell me,
to look at their faces, Goose announced that they are playing two nights at the Stone Pony outdoor setup, the summer stage there, as well as the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, otherwise known as SPAC.
Yo, I mean, this is exciting, and they seem pretty gassed on these tour dates themselves. You know, I saw them all posting about, you know, how many memories they have at SPAC. For, you know, from seeing bands, and now they get to play it. I mean, playing SPAC would be pretty fucking cool. Like, that's so out of the realm of something I can imagine that, like, I'm like, wow, that's, now that I'm thinking about it, fucking
headlining
epic.
SPAC.
Yeah, it's out of control.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's really out of control. So that's very epic. Isaac, have you been to the Stone Pony Summer Stage?
I have. I saw the aforementioned Umphrey's McGee there.
Yeah.
One summer. And let me tell you, there were a lot of people being kicked out.
Yeah?
You could tell, the fake IDs were being confiscated left and right. People were not showing their best selves that night.
Wow.
It was a little unfortunate. But you know what? Our friend Ryan Stasek.
Yeah?
Not my friend. I don't know him at all. Hi, Stasek.
My friend.
Your friend Ryan Stasek.
What's up, pal?
Wrote the set list that night, and he sang, I don't know, they performed the song Mother by Danzig.
Oh, cool.
And that was a very nice tribute to the
New
Asbury
Jersey.
Park Shore and New Jersey, the great state.
That's very cool. I would love to. I hope he sang it, honestly. Well, whoever sang it, like, that's
it was
fucking
probably Chris Myers, the drummer.
Amen. Amen. But that's good shit all around. I feel like I've only been there once, maybe twice, but I definitely remember once for Primus, Speak of the Diablo, with the Dean Ween group opening in those very dark years in which Ween was disbanded. And I was, you know, traveling insane distances. Not that that's an insane distance, but, you know, I was going anywhere to any club to just get a hint of either Gene or Dean Ween performing anything at all. That's sort of, you know, Dean Ween group was definitely one of the more emblematic bands of the time, so that's a bad example. But I remember going to, like, some, like, I'm about to call it a yacht club. That is absolutely not what it was. It was like a sea shanty in the swamps of Jersey. I was under 18, didn't get in, and, you know, it was like Dean Ween performing with a couple guys, you know what I mean, and whatever, and I ended up just kind of walking around, and I, you know, I had friends in the band, but they couldn't do anything because I was underage, and I was like, holy shit, fuck, it's all good, and just ended up walking around, like, these, like, South Jersey sort of swamp side streets waiting for my ride home, you know, because I couldn't drive or anything. Anyway, I was out of control shit, but great to see Primus and the Dean Ween group at the Stone Pony Summer Stage. I think that year was, you know, 2012? 2013? I don't remember. Anyway, great stuff. Beautiful place to see music. And obviously, Two Nights of Goose there is going to be so, like, I feel like that's small, you know?
It is small. No, and it's 4th of July.
Yeah.
And 3rd of July. But those right. will definitely be sought after tickets, very slammed shows. And, you know, hopefully not too many people getting kicked out because everyone will be on their best behavior basking in the goose.
As we know. That's
did
that's,
I really just say basking in the goose?
It's okay.
We, is that okay?
I think that's
okay
not so bad.
With that?
I've seen worse. Basking okay. in the goose.
Well, on to the next story. Talk about getting a glimpse of your favorite musicians. The Smile announced a fresh batch of summer dates. They are Tom York, they are Johnny Greenwood, and they are Tom Skinner, formerly of Sons of Kemet. And they are playing in New York. I'm looking forward to that at the Forest Hill Stadium. They are starting off in Mexico City, playing Austin, Texas, hitting Florida, hitting North Charleston, South Carolina, hitting Asheville, North Carolina, just going about, you know, all of the places you would really want to go see these guys play. And I missed it the first time. I know you did.
Yep.
That is a rookie mistake on our parts. We probably should have flown out somewhere, but now we don't really have to. We just need to take a long train ride to the Forest Hill Stadium.
Amen. And what a train ride it's going to be, Isaac. I don't know. This is very exciting, and it's a very good sort of nice batch of, like, your second leg of U.S. dates for this band, right? This is really a nice crop that you love to see. I'm wildly looking forward to it. You know, it's what I kind of, like, I listen to The Smile, right? A lot. And, you know, I know that it's a three-piece, but, like, it's a fucking three-piece. You know what I mean? And we have Tom York, and, for, you know, for me personally, watching Tom play bass and sing so effortlessly, and, you know, playing bass and singing is fucking hard. Like, you know, you have to, like, play one note at a time and shit. You don't have to, like, the luxury of strumming in the same way that you do with a guitar. Like, and I don't know, to see that sort of effortless mastery from that guy, voice of an angel. Forget the other two, the fucking geniuses that they are. Like, I'm so excited to see the three dudes get up there at Forest Hills and lay it down. Very exciting shit.
That is a good way to put it, because there's something about it that has such a mystique, as you're saying.
Yeah.
Is it really three dudes? But yeah, they are going to walk out on stage and play a show.
Dude.
Like, they're just going to lay it down for us.
And it's going to be those three guys.
That's going to be really cool.
Like, that's just a crazy, I don't know, like, that's so epic. The music is so good. I am such a fan. Love to see that. We're really stoked on all these, you know, bands we like playing Forest Hill Stadium this summer, Isaac. I think this is great. That, we talked about the Dave Matthews Band doing the same. I feel last week on the pod, we talked about that. This is, it's a good year to be a Queens resident. How about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other story that I'm very excited to talk about is the group Shakti.
Dude.
Is going to be going on a North American tour to celebrate their 50th anniversary as a band. A lot of anniversaries going on. But Shakti is a, I guess what's known as a fusion group formed by John McLaughlin and El Shankar and Zakir Hussain on tablas, and also features many other interesting people, as well as special guests Bill Frisell and Bela Fleck.
It's so out of control, you can't even, like, conceive of how epic this music is going to be live, you know?
In Hindi, Shakti means creative intelligence, beauty, and power.
Mm.
And that will probably be what will be on display this August at theaters across the nation.
You heard it here first, folks. Isaac, you couldn't be more right. I mean, this is really exciting stuff. This is, like, you know, John McLaughlin.
He is one of the better guitar players ever, and also said he was retiring from touring and definitely not playing the States anymore.
Yeah.
And here he is out on the road with probably the coolest project he played in.
I was about to say, like, didn't John, like, say that he was done touring, or did I make that up in my head? Like, he did, right? I don't know.
And he did, you know, to his credit, go away for a good while. I guess a lot of people did with a lot of different reasons, but he didn't play a lot of shows for some time and then came back and took it across European countries, but not so much in the U.S. for a good while.
For real.
And this is just very exciting. I know a lot of people have been holding out to see Shock D, myself included. I love the records. I love the live album. I'm going to do some deeper digging into what this is all about, because it seems like one of the things where the more you know about it, the greater your appreciation of it can be. Although I'm sure you can also just sit there as a total noob, cold, and enjoy the whole thing.
Sure, sure. I feel like it's one of the, it'll definitely, you know, if you know a lot about it, you'll be stoked. If you don't know shit about it, you'll sit there and it'll just be like, holy fuck. This is so epic. I don't know. That's, you know, Bela Fleck, isn't it? Bill Frisell?
Yeah, they're like the special guests. Like, that's... imagine that those are your like guests. You're like, oh yeah, we already have like the best tabla players. We got John McLaughlin. We have all of this spirit and energy and instrument power. And then, like, you know, we'll just invite Bill Frisell and Bela Fleck.
It's really
as well to just like get down with us.
So over the top. So over the top. I mean, wildly exciting. This is just making me think, Isaac, you know, we talked last week. I was going to see some absolute masters of their craft at the Village Vanguard, which were Brad Meldow and Christian McBride and
Dana Stevens.
Dana Stevens, yep. And, I mean, you know, it's Brad's quintet. It was out of control. And you went on Sunday.
I did, and I just had the best experience. I mean, 90 minutes could not fly by faster than when you're watching those guys play with each other. I mean, it's just really anything Brad Meldow plays sounds good. Yeah. Everything Christian McBride plays takes your breath away. And everyone on stage is extremely talented, totally raw, and also, you know, when I see jazz, good jazz these days, I'm like, they're one step ahead of everything and also sounding totally organic and totally off the cuff at the same time. How does that happen?
Such a crazy thing to witness. It really is. I can't. I'm still shocked at what I saw. I'm so glad you saw it. And Christian McBride, famously from Philly, was donning head-to-toe Eagles gear. Is that correct, Isaac?
That is correct. He was in full celebration of the Eagles' victory. They are going to the Super Bowl. It's wildly exciting. And I got a lot of, fly birds fly when he got on stage from the audience. And it was a celebratory evening. It was the last night of their residency, which you saw just the second night of.
Sure.
And, they were totally cooking. And it's just, we're blessed to live in New York City where those guys just play in a basement a couple blocks away from our apartment for multiple nights, and we can just go and check it out.
It's so shocking. It's
actually their jam.
It's absolutely spellbinding.
It's very cool.
Oh my god.
I feel like there's just like I want to just keep talking about music. It's just so alive.
It's too good. Well, I'll tell you what. Just to to segue right there. You know, my guy Christian McBride was in Eagles gear. I was. Well, first of all, there's a lot going on, but Saturday I saw the 20-year anniversary show, meaning, you know, the anniversary of their first ever show, and I'm talking about the Hold Steady playing Music Hall of Williamsburg, which the Hold Steady says that their first ever show was at what they used to be, it used to be called North Six, right, where Music Hall of Williamsburg is now. It's the same thing. That was their first show ever, and they opened for, a gentleman whose name I don't remember, but he kindly allowed them to open for them. And on Saturday, they invited him to open for them for the 20-year anniversary, which is incredible. And people were just hanging from the rafters, myself included. It was such a compelling, cool, like, I love that band. Like, they're just such a great, very inventive rock band, you know? Anyway, love to see that. Shout out the Hold Steady. Thank you for 20 years of patronage. You guys are amazing.
Who are they patroning?
Oh, right. I don't know. Fuck. That was the wrong word. God damn it. Thank you for 20 years of being dope as fuck. Never mind. Anyway, and then... and then the next day, I went to Philly because my boyfriend, Johnny, he's a huge Phillies fan. I mean, Eagles fan, sorry. And I went to hang out at Aaron Magner's house while my boyfriend and his friend went to the Eagles game, which was great. And I saw on the screen, they played a Disco Biscuits song into commercial break on the Eagles game, which was so, like, to be with a member of the band when that's happening, and he didn't know it was going to happen, and we heard it, and it was so epic. Like, that was really fucking cool.
Wildly exciting. That's good news all around. It seemed like a very victorious weekend for the great city of Philadelphia.
It really was. It really was. And that just, you know, ties in. I'm opening for the Disco Biscuits tomorrow, Wednesday, and the following day. That's a Thursday.
That's a cool thing to be able to say, Karina.
I know. It's never not shocking to say it out of my mouth hole. You know what I'm saying? And so it's, yeah, it's happening. Two nights at Higher Ground. Isaac's coming to the second one. Johnny, the aforementioned, is coming to the first. And I'm just so stoked to have, I'm playing with the Disco Biscuits again in Iceland, but this feels like a really, like, you know, a nice little cap off of this, you know, last few weeks of gigs with them, which has just been such an honor and a privilege to be able to do. And, you know, we've been seeing the band for so long. I know we talk about them every week on the podcast, but it's necessary because we love them and because it's so fun to, you know, be a part of their little orbit that they've created that I find so compelling and fascinating and just talk about. I mean, it's crazy. So thank you, Disco Biscuits.
I thought they were following us around.
Were they following us around? Yeah, dude, it feels that way. It really does. Their music just seeps into my psyche, and I'm just like, bow, 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 like all the time. It's kind of out of control. I don't know. I love these guys. They're so fucking great, and I'm looking forward to those shows. And then it's Jam Cruise, Isaac. It's about to be Jam Cruise. Starting, well, on Sunday, my band's playing the pre-party in Miami. And then Monday to the following Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, to keep it in the theme, your girl's going to be on a boat for, like, days.
That's pretty wild.
It's a daunting concept, you know? It's a daunting concept.
Nah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but no.
But you know.
It's going to be great. It's not like it hasn't been done before many times, but I'm looking forward to seeing if any, you know, podcast listeners are going to be on the boat. I really can't wait to be there with you next week. So that's, by the way, I don't think we will be able to tape the podcast next week because I will literally be out at sea.
Well, we really did a good job this week.
Yeah, I agree.
We really updated the people on what's going on.
They had to know.
They know about Jesus Christ Superstar now.
Woo! Yeah, thank God. That was a good education for yours truly as well, you know? And I used the word patronage wrong. That was exciting. We talked about the Eagles. We never mentioned sports on this podcast. This is, you know, one of those days.
We should do a sports episode.
Where we just struggle to talk about sports.
Yeah, we could have some guests, though.
We'd have some good guests.
Like Trey loves football.
Yeah.
And Barber loves football.
When I was growing up, like back in our day, Isaac, when you were a kid, like, by the way, I played a ton of sports up until the moment I picked up a guitar, right? Like, I was very, very, very athletic, a complete tomboy, tons of soccer and basketball and skateboarding and God knows anything with a ball, anything with wheels on it, like, I was good to go. And then I picked up a guitar and I said, bye-bye to everything else, right? But beyond that, in terms of just fandom, right? And just existing, like, you know, you're a kid, everybody plays fucking sports, like, whatever. But I was sort of under the impression that it was, like, music or sports for a long time. You know what I mean?
I never played sports. You could definitely catch me in the back corner of the gymnasium singing Fire on the Mountain and spinning around in a circle.
Yeah, look at you.
It was definitely just music. There wasn't even a question for me. But yeah, I feel you. It is actually really inspiring to see all of these musicians and also just close friends who don't play music, who really care deeply about music, also be similarly impassioned about sports, because I'm like, I don't have the capacity to care about more things, I don't think.
It's fascinating. No, it's amazing.
In that way, and like, it's more pastimes.
Right.
And it's more than that.
oh my God. I just sort of seeing this Eagles thing like up close and up front and whatever, and just the way, like, it very much reminds me of the fish thing, meaning people tailgating, people driving to the game, people getting so excited about what's happening on the field or the stage. Like, I don't know. And now, you know, finally I understand the rules of football as of the last 2 months, you know.
That's where I've always struggled.
Yeah. Well, I didn't care to know. But then, you know, my boyfriend watched enough of it and I was done just being, you know, passive. And I was like, could you explain this to me? Really? Like, when they say 5-yard penalty, what the hell? He's like, that means that you move 5 yards backwards down the field. I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And now that I know, and I know how to watch it, like, I get it now, which is nice. And now when I watch basketball, I'm like, this sport is so simple. It's so self-explanatory.
That's the sport I like.
Right, because you just put it in.
Totally.
These guys go there, and then these guys go there, and you're just constant. Like, it's very simple, you know? But now I'm sort of like, wow, like, with football, there's like this thing, and they all get together, line of scrimmage, and they all have a play in mind where one guy's going to do this and one guy's going to do that, and they all like micromanage that shit. And it's just like, they do a thing, they set up again. They do a thing, they set up again. It's like, wow, I like now the pacing of it is appealing to me. So I think it's very cool. And I'm just, you know, I'm an entertainment fan at the end of the day. You know what I mean? I love show business. I love entertainment. I love anything that gets people riled up. You know what I mean? And so, like, fuck yeah to all this shit. I don't know anything about it beyond what I just described. But I'm in. It's cool to see people who are stoked about anything for the most part.
That I really agree with. And that would be the driving factor for me, for sure.
People stoked on some shit, you know? Fuck.
I love your sweater.
Thanks, dude. It's a company called Leret, L-E-R-E-T, L-E-R-E-T.
We have a lot of their tote bags.
Yeah, because I ordered a couple, two, three of these sweaters. Not going to lie to you. They're not paying me to say this, though I wish they were. Our friend Ricky Blakesburg hipped me to this company. And I was like, yeah, whatever. She's like, no, really, you'd look good in these sweaters. And I was like, girl, seriously? And then I looked it up. I was like, oh, shit, I love these sweaters. What the fuck? So, yeah, LeretLeret.com.
Well, I love Ricky Blakesburg. I hope next time she's in town, she goes sweater shopping with us and RJB, the man in charge, the guy who puts on this show. Shout out to the entire Osiris Media Company.
Dude, without you, we're nothing. We're zilch. We don't exist. So thank you for putting us on. RJ, we cannot wait to buy you a cashmere sweater. Hopefully, maybe you'll buy us a cashmere sweater. I don't know. We just don't know. Maybe Ricky will buy sweaters for all of us. This is a great fantasy. This has been amazing, Isaac. This has been amazing, listeners. I hope you're having a wonderful day, a wonderful evening, whatever time it is. It doesn't even matter, dude. Is it light out? Is it dark out? Who gives a fuck? Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this brought your day a little extra pizzazz, you know what I'm saying? And we hope you have a wonderful week, and we will skip next week because I will be on a boat with the craziest people in America, and the next week I will be back ashore. My sea legs will be wobbly, but my heart will be full, and hopefully my brain thinkings will be happening. The synapses will be firing, and I look forward to chatting with you then, Isaac. Thank you so much.
Maybe I'll just do the episode by myself next week.
Dude, you should.
Solo episode. I'm like, well, that brings me to my next point.
Honestly, I would, like, you should probably do that.
It'd be interesting.
Amen. But until then.
Thank you for your patronage.
Bye.
Never learned at camp. Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you from. Osiris.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same.
So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.